Does moving your systems to the cloud eliminate the need for disaster recovery strategy? Is it accurate that high availability renders DR obsolete? This episode of The Resilient Journey has a bit of a Mythbusters vibe to it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 124 of The Resilient Journey podcast, presented by the Resilience Think Tank. This week, we're joined by David Hall, disaster recovery architect for the city of Tulsa. David explains the connectivity between business continuity and disaster recovery and the need for developing a completely fleshed out backup strategy. David and Mark talk about ways to interact with our IT partners and how to translate tech speak into language anyone can understand. And be sure to listen until the end as David drops a nugget about how to approach IT to get the conversation started. This is a good one. Let's check it out.
David, thanks for joining us today. Let's start, please, with just a brief introduction and just give us a little bit about your background.
Well, Mark, thanks for having me. It's an honor to talk to you about this subject. I spent 32 years in the insurance industry. Grew up in Pennsylvania and started working for Fortune 50 insurance company there right out of college. I moved around the country a bunch of times, but I live in Oklahoma right now. And before I lived in Oklahoma, I lived in Louisiana. And we moved here about 3 weeks before Katrina. So it's, you know, kind of one of those milestone issues in your life. And so, you know, everybody at that time was talking about preparedness and, you know, the devastation that happened down in New Orleans. And so we really got started talking to Tulsa about Tulsa business community is any better prepared to handle a situation, because you could very easily have an F5 tornado roll through, you know, downtown Tulsa, you know, than New Orleans was. And we really got to the answer was no, we didn't think so. So we, myself and a couple other people, we started a nonprofit here that whose sole aim was to provide business continuity planning services for small businesses. And so that's how I really got my toes into the field here on that issue. And I ran that nonprofit for about 15 years. State Farm decided to close their office here in Tulsa. And so I decided to leave the company right at the start of COVID. So that was awesome.
Your career is defined by milestones, right? Katrina and then COVID.
Yeah. And COVID.
Anyhow, sorry.
Right. But in the downtime, I had, you know, you make as many connections as you can. And I had a technical recruiter kind of looking through my LinkedIn and my resume, and they picked up this business continuity issue. And I ended up going to work down at Paycom, which is a payroll services contracting company down in Oklahoma City. And really, they were looking for a IT DR person that had business continuity experience. And I said, well, I don't really have any IT DR experience. They said, don't worry about it. We'll train that part into you. We need the other part. And I'm like, okay. So I spent 8 months down there really learning about DR and the things that could affect DR. Then they shut down all their work from home, which means I would have had to drive about 2 hours one way every day to go to work. And I said, I can't do that.
No.
But the same recruiter that picked me off for that job said, hey, wait, I have something for you in Tulsa. And so now I am the disaster recovery architect for the city of Tulsa.
You and I met recently at a Resilience Think Tank Ask Me Anything event, and you brought up IT disaster recovery, and it kind of sparked the conversation for that particular AMA. And I loved it. And, you know, based on that, I thought, wow, this guy would be great to have on the podcast. So I think, and the reason for me that I thought it was a natural fit is because I think there's a lot of us, myself included, who almost see IT disaster recovery as a bit of an adjacent discipline to business continuity, in that we know a little bit about it, maybe we establish some of the parameters for ITDR through the BIA, but we got some gaps when it comes to understanding. So let's just start very quickly with the basic premise. So in a lot of organizations, business continuity program, maybe it's through the BIA, establishes system requirements, recovery time objectives, recovery point objectives, and then that gets handed over to IT, right?
Yeah. So it's really interesting, I think, the way you phrased it, right? Business continuity adjacent was the phrase that I really jumped onto. And I would tell you that at least in the way that I see it, everything is connected.
Yeah.
Right? So much of the business continuity of governments or organizations or big companies is tied to certain systems being able to function, right? I can't run my company without Microsoft 365, for example. Well, okay, so that's got to be a priority. But in order for Microsoft 365 to run, things like Active Directory have to run and DNS have to run. You know, there's pieces of the IT system that have to be online in order for all that to happen. And then you've got to kind of figure out what's the priority order to bring this stuff back up in, or everybody's going to call you all the time saying, I'm the most important person in the world. How come my system isn't back up yet? So all of that kind of really weaves together, right? So right. It starts with a very strong ITDR statement of purpose, right? With a complete understanding that you're not going to stop a ransomware attack. Somebody's going to get in at some point and you're going to be affected. The real key to it is how fast can you find it, quarantine it, and limit the damage that it's going to do, right? So that's step one. Step two is if the worst case scenario happens, you should have a completely fleshed out backup strategy, right? Whether that's a replication somewhere else, whether that's a cloud backup that's replicated and backed up somewhere else on the cloud, but you should be able to restart everything instantaneously.
One of the flaws that I often see when people tell me that they do backups is that, you know, the question that has to be asked is, well, are you backing up the right things? Are you backing up essentially everything? And that's kind of a common flaw, I would think.
Yeah. And I say, well, have you ever gone out and got it? Have you ever tried to use it from the bat? And they're like, no. Well, then you're really not doing anything.
Yeah. Right? We're going down the path of pet peeves on this. The one that I have, and I just wrote it down in my book and I put a line through it, is the word just. I hate the word just when it comes to either a business continuity or in particular, a disaster recovery strategy. Oh, we'll just restore from backup. Yeah. Okay. There's got to be detail in there. A couple of other common difficulties for those of us on the non-technical side of things, right? In business continuity, when it comes to understanding these techie people, talk about how difficult it can be to understand all the tech talk. And what advice would you give to people who have to try to make sure we have solutions in place to make sure, I don't know, we're not just getting double talked or snowed or whatever. What advice do you have for that?
Yeah, I think that's one of the hardest things that I've encountered, right, in trying to make this bridge between the two disciplines, right? Because IT people love to speak IT. Now, you can say it's not a different language, but spend 5 minutes in a room with them.
Yeah.
Right? We want to do this sequential. It's like you can't. And what I tell them all the time is like, guys, you have to slow down, first of all. That's the first thing. And the second thing is you have to speak to me like you're talking to my 87-year-old mom. And my 87-year-old mom has to understand this because the next thing she's going to do is she's going to go next door to the lady who lives next door who's like 90 and explain it to her, right? That's the terms I need you to use with me. So, and it's an ongoing battle. There's a lot of people who just, you know, they don't want to be bothered. So they use as many interesting words as they can, but it doesn't really matter because they still can't do what they say they can do.
Right. Technobabble doesn't help anybody in that particular case. You also, when we were on the AMA, just a quick follow-up on that, you talked about having to translate that technical response into executive terms too, and kind of breaking it down into those simpler terms really helps with that storytelling, right?
It really does. You know, I report directly to the CIO of the city, who reports directly to the mayor. So there are times when I have to go and talk to the mayor about our preparedness. Well, he doesn't care how many racks, a SQL event, none of that, right? He wants to know, when there's an event, how fast are we going to be up? Are our police going to be able to function? What's going to happen to our 911 system? And he wants to hear those things in very real, very plain terms. And so you have to have confidence that the explanation that you have can be diluted down into terms that anybody could understand.
The other thing that I run into as a difficulty when I'm dealing with technical teams is their optimism bias when it comes to the overall recoverability or resilience of a particular system. How many times have you heard them overstate how resilient part of their technology is, or understate how long it would take for them to actually recover?
Well, so that's a great point, right? And I think that until your organization goes through something catastrophic, they don't really know. You know, they can make time estimations based on what they think is going to happen. But until you lose, you know, everything in your data center, right? And you have to, you know, build a VM data center out on the cloud and then populate it and then restart everything, or you have to go out and purchase new equipment and throw out everything you have, you have no idea how long something like that takes. So one of the real advantages of working where I work right now is they've just been through it, right? Mm-hmm. So we had a real opportunity for people to understand how hard it is, how long it takes, because when they first restarted, they had no plan, no particular backup. They weren't on the cloud. You know, they had systems that were in a variety of different states, disrepair and ages and, you know, all kind, like the worst of the worst case scenario. But now they really do understand how important some of these things are and have moved light years ahead in their understanding of that.
One of the things that's different between business continuity and DR is we run business continuity exercises, but we run disaster recovery tests. And the idea of the test is they're actually recovering this stuff, and we're measuring their capability against RTO, measuring data loss against RPO and things like that. But full-on disaster recovery testing is difficult.
It is. Now, I would tell you that I think it varies a lot by organization, right?
Yep.
When I worked at Paycom, we had one very singular goal, which was the app never went down. The Paycom app, the public-facing app, never went down. All we had to do was test, right? Test the app, test the backup, test the, you know, it was a singular test that we could do. At the city, there are 300 programs at any one time, all running independently for different parts of the organization doing different things. Okay, you know, we could set up a sandbox and test some of the bigger ones. You know, the hardest part is really to prioritize programs in the order that they need to come back in. So when you're testing, right, you have to build some of that into your testing as well.
I'm going through that right now with a customer, and we just finished a BIA and had a number of people tell me they need a system up very quickly, like within an hour or whatever. And so there were multiple different applications that all had a target RTO of 1 hour, and they can't all come back up in 1 hour. And so we started looking at things like the critical functions that were using that system, what the workarounds were of that system and things like that, to help break the tie and set those priorities. And there's a lot of different ways of looking at which systems need to come back up first. I'd like for you to bust a couple of myths, if you don't mind, when it comes to dealing with the tech teams. The first one is that deploying a system or an application with local high availability negates the need for DR. What would you say to that?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's completely false. Just because something's highly available doesn't mean you know how to use it, right? So testing and DR testing, regular testing, is number one, it's a backup to the promises of availability or scalability or reliability that you get from some of these apps. But you still, no matter what you have deployed, you need the plan.
I also tend to think of it from the standpoint of a local high availability solution helps with a small component failure, but it doesn't help with a broader environmental or systemic failure.
I think that's 100% true.
The second myth that I hear all the time is we don't have to worry about disaster recovery for that system because we're moving it to Azure or to AWS.
Yeah. So the cloud is a godsend for a lot of companies, right? It provides the bandwidth that they need to do things like DR. But just because you have it on Azure, again, doesn't mean you can use it, right? You can say that you're backing up on Azure, but until you try to go get your Active Directory file and restart it, you have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah. And I was just reading CrowdStrike just put out their 2024 risk report, and they showed statistics from 2023 showing 110% increase in cloud-based attacks where the perpetrator was knowingly going after product that was in a user-controlled cloud environment. So, I mean, it doesn't make you immune from these problems.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a surprise. That's a function of how many people are just on the cloud, even as primary at this point.
Right.
Right. You're just going to see that kind of attack, and the skills involved in that kind of attack are going to become more frequent and more complex because so many people are going that way.
Do you think part of the problem with the tech teams is that historically disaster recovery has always taken the position of, we're here to protect against catastrophic loss of a data center, which frankly hardly ever happens. So should we be shifting our narrative maybe away from full-on data center loss to thinking more about data protection, data recovery in a more common scenario, which would be like from a cyber attack?
Wow, that's such a great observation, right? I think you have to still do both, right? You okay. have to be prepared for, I walked into the data center at the city and they were so proud of the fact that they had a dry pipe sprinkler system in there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, guys, you understand that's still water, right? So when that goes off, you're like, you lose everything.
Yeah.
You know, so you have that part, right? Where I think you can still lose whole data centers anywhere in the country, right? But that's even from the standpoint of just weather. But you have to scale it, right? You have to be able to replace a stack too. Oh, I had one thing get infected. We quarantined it, but I lost a stack. Okay, I can rebuild from there. But to your point, right? Protecting the data is just as important as protecting the equipment. So you almost have to think about it in both buckets as you're building your overall DR strategy.
You talked about protecting a stack, and then I had talked about earlier a few questions back about high availability. The whole idea of the high availability deployment is that the two stacks are replicating, and you're right to say, you know, if there's malware in the first stack, it's going to be propagated over to the second stack, and then the next thing you know, you have a complete outage of that system.
Yeah. And that's where you're hopeful that, right, your secondary stack or your replicated stack is also being backed up on the cloud. And then on its way to being backed up, it's being run through software so they can pick off which one of the backups was the last safe one before you got.
Yeah, no, I like that to be able to, you have to have that golden copy. And the problem is, if we're doing backups, let's just say daily, just to keep it simple, but the last week's worth of backups have also been infected with whatever malware. I mean, you're not only losing a day's worth of data, now you could be losing several days worth of data, which could be catastrophic depending on the business operation.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, some of the products, some of the endpoint products that identify these potential malware hits or things like that are so important, right? Fast identification is critical.
I want to ask you a really precise question here, and it's about the documentation, about the disaster recovery plans. What are your recommendations when it comes to disaster recovery documentation? Is it process around gathering the team and prioritization, or is it more precise around step one, do this, step two, do this in order to build the system? Or is it a combination of that? How do you see that?
I'm building DR and BC at the same time, right? So when I say I'm building DR, that's a strategy for the IT department, right? So what happens if we lose a data center or we get attacked? How does the IT department react in that situation, right? So that we can make available to the rest of the city departments the asset that they need to continue.
So
right, and
it,
then
is that like an incident management process, or is that documenting specific recovery steps?
I don't know that I have asked them to do that, right? We talk about building the teams that are going to do the work.
Okay.
Right, and where they should come from. I don't necessarily say, okay, after you build that team, then you need to have a meeting, then you need to do this, then you need to do that. Right. That's what those guys get paid for. And they know how to do it better than anybody else.
Right.
Right. I want to make sure that the teams get built and the documentation starts in the quickest possible way so that we can move. And down the road, right, we're going to have exercised this. So they're going to be even more aware of what to do and how to do it quickly.
Yeah, this is really interesting. And, you know, what we've done here in the last 20 plus minutes is, you know, just kind of rehashed some of the difficulties that I think many in the business continuity industry go through as we deal with trying to make sure these technical assets are protected. All right, let me shift gears here for a minute. So imagine a scenario where you've been asked to speak. As you are introduced, your walk-up music starts playing. Tell me, what song would you choose and why?
You know, so of all the questions that you sent me to think about in advance, man, I had the hardest time with this one. And I even went to my wife and she made me laugh. She said the first thing she said, well, it's Darth Vader's theme. Of course. And I started laughing, right?
That's funny.
Well, because people don't necessarily understand the mission that you're on. Right. Oh, my gosh. Here comes the DR guy. Now it's going to be 3 weeks in a room with them and they've got a 900 page template and I got to. Right. And that's really not the position that you want to carve out.
No.
Right. You need to carve out the how can I help you piece. Right. I'm here to help this entire organization get back on its feet as fast as possible. Right. And that means I have to work in a lot of different areas and a lot of different buckets, but we have to develop a common understanding of what's important.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was just going to say, I want to tell you just how right you are in what you just said, because you're the second person who has said that phrase that we need to ask, how can I help you? And the first one was in a client meeting, talking about specifically approaching IT related to disaster recovery. And then here you are on the podcast on the same topic, and you said the exact same thing. That is absolutely spot on.
Well, and so you're trying to break down so many of those things that make it difficult, right? And we've talked about, you know, IT people, you know, they're really good at their job, but they're not necessarily very good at talking to people, right?
Right.
So, you know, like in the very first week that I went to the city, I went and met with every department head face to face.
Yep.
Because I wanted them to see me. I wanted them to understand what the mission was that I was on. And I also wanted them to understand that no matter what happens, you know, getting your department back online as fast as possible is my goal. So whatever that means to you, I'm here to help.
Listen, you disappointed me a little bit with the Darth Vader theme. I sort of expected to hear a little Don Williams from you.
Living on Tulsa time.
Yeah, well, remember that I didn't grow up here.
No, but you are living on Tulsa time now, for sure.
I am. I'm a Van Halen guy, actually. So
There you go. I don't think they covered that, did they? No, I don't think so. Hey, this has been fun. How can people connect with you?
Well, my profile's out on LinkedIn. You can always IM me there. I can't wait to keep this conversation going. I'm having so much fun doing this kind of as a second career. And I think there's a huge expanse in there where we can make things better, more understandable, easier for people to grab onto and really make a difference.
Yeah. And I appreciate your insights with it. And I expect you'll probably come and join us at the next Resilience Think Tank Ask Me Anything, which is at the end of March. And we can keep the conversation going there. And if people have follow-up questions, we would encourage them to be asked at that time or anytime. Like you said, they can message you through LinkedIn. David, thanks for doing this. I appreciate you being here.
Hey, Mark, thanks for having me.
We want to thank David Hall for joining us this week and talking about the connection between business continuity and disaster recovery. The Resilient Journey is a Resilience Think Tank production. Next week, Jason Haas returns to the podcast, and we talk about the perfect elevator pitch for your resilience program. So join us, won't you, as we continue our resilient journey.